So we're thankful to God that we can come to his throne with our prayers. Giving glory, honor, and praise to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to the ministers, deacons, everyone on this call, I count it a blessing to again teach and preach from the Word of God. And if you would turn in your Bible to Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21. And we're going to read one single verse from Proverbs chapter 21, and that is verse 15. And I will be reading from the New King James Version. Proverbs chapter 21. Looking at verse 15 in Proverbs chapter 21, it reads, "It is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity." May God bless the reading of his word. And we just want to focus on this verse 15 this morning using the simple message title, "Do Justice." Do justice. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord God, that your word gives us light. It gives us life. It gives us direction. God, we thank you, O Heavenly Father, that in your word we are empowered and able to navigate the seas of life, that we're able to move forward, Lord God, in a way that you would have us to move forward. And so, Father God, I pray that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. And I pray, Lord God, that this word falls on ground that produces a harvest for you, that, Lord God, that we, all of us, Lord, are able, Lord, to not just be hearers of your word, but doers of your word. And help us, Lord God, to do justice in a way that you would have us to do it. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. One of the greatest preachers of our time, in my opinion, is a woman from Texas named Beth Moore. And it was in the news this past week that she has decided to leave her denomination, the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, the news media immediately made the Beth Moore announcement about her position on Donald Trump. But if you follow her, you will know that it was much more than that. She left her denomination because she simply could not abide any longer their comfort level with injustice. She knew, as Martin Luther King Jr. knew, that injustice anywhere was a threat to justice everywhere. And she knew that throughout Scripture you will read that God is the defender and protector of the poor, the foreigner, the immigrant, the debtor, the widow, and the orphan. He sends his rain on the just and the unjust. And Beth Moore, this well-known evangelist, found that she was not among those defending and protecting the poor, the foreigner, the immigrant, the debtor, the widow, and the orphan. Many doors in her denomination closed on her as she spoke out, and she found that she was not welcome among those that were doing justice with joy. And I can tell you now that her ministry will go further than she can have ever imagined, because she will be able now to better rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. We're talking this morning about do justice, because doing justice is rendering to everyone that which is his due, and doing it in a way that is equal and right in every separate case without being partial. Doing justice means putting things right again, repairing and restoring what has been broken. Our God is a God of justice, and the Bible is filled with story after story of God doing justice and shutting down injustice. We know when Daniel's three friends were thrown into the burning fiery furnace, God stepped right in there and brought justice. And when three chapters later in Daniel, that Daniel himself was later thrown in the lion's den, God stepped right in there and brought justice. Because God's message about justice has always been very simple. We read in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 17, where God says, "Learn to do right, seek justice. defend the oppressed, take up the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. We read in Amos chapter 5 where God says, let justice roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. So friends, there is no expiration date on God's justice, and there is no expiration date on the need of people to do justice. Wherever people are assembled and organized, those people should do justice. Homes are comprised of people. Corporations are comprised of people. Governments are comprised of people. And wherever people are assembled and organized, those people should do justice. Doing justice means that you are an employer paying men and women the exact amount for the exact same job, or going in and fixing the pay inequity when you find that that has already occurred. Doing justice means that if you are sitting on a jury for the trial of one man that chose to keep his knee on the neck of another handcuffed man for almost 9 minutes, and that handcuffed man has died as a result, then it will not matter to you in your decision as a juror whether the aggressor was a police officer or whether the victim was black. Doing justice means that if COVID-19 vaccines are going to finally come to the overall Apopka community, and the residents of Rock Springs and Wekiver Springs can go over to nearby Kelly Park and get the vaccine, then the residents of South Apopka should be able to go over to the VFW Hall or John Bridges Community Center and get the vaccine themselves as well. That's doing justice. But these are examples of doing justice at a workplace level or a governmental level or a judicial system level. But doing justice is not just reserved for the employer. Doing justice is not just reserved for the government. Doing justice is not just reserved for the judicial system. It is people, you and me, all of us that are called to do justice. But just what does it mean to do justice? What does that look like in our own personal everyday lives? You know, we hear the word fairness a lot. People saying that this isn't fair and that isn't fair. And some people think that fairness and justice are the same, but there is a difference. Yes, we are fair when we are not biased and show no favoritism. Fairness is not showing bias toward groups of people or individuals. Fairness is a part of justice, but justice goes beyond fairness. Justice takes fairness and then goes to another level. For example, I could pass every day two homeless people, one a homeless man and the other a homeless woman. And I could decide that rather than give to one of them and not give to the other, and I could decide that I'm not going to help either one of them. Or let me put it this way, just to clarify. I could decide that rather than give to one of them and not give to the other, I could decide not to help either one of them. Now, by definition, I would be exhibiting fairness by not helping either one of them. But that is not doing justice. There is a difference between fairness and justice. Doing justice most simply means putting things right again, fixing, repairing, and restoring what has been broken, and doing it in a way that respects the dignity and worth of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Doing justice means wanting for your brother and sister what you would want for yourself and doing what you can to make that possible. And it should be a joy for the just to do justice. And this is where we should turn now and look at this verse here in Proverbs chapter 21, which reads, it is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. You know, unfortunately, we've seen how many so-called Christians have used their church membership and worship to sadly cover up their animosity and hatred and their failure to do justice. But God sees all and knows all. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And most of us take a joy in worship. Yet genuine Christian worship requires a heart to do justice. And the only way worship can be made pleasing to God is when those who are worshiping let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream. Because there is a relationship between justice and righteousness in God's eyes. A group of worshipers are only acceptable to God if the worshipers are acting every day to do justice, which is in itself an act of worship. So doing justice most simply means putting things right again, fixing, repairing, restoring what has been broken, and doing justice restores our relationship with God and makes our worship of God authentic. It is the job of the church, the body of Christ, to do justice, not just collectively, but also individually in our everyday lives. Not just the pastor or the ministers or the deacons, but all of us to do justice and to do it with joy. One definition of joy is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. That is a settled state of contentment or confidence and hope. You know, when you have joy, you choose to respond to external circumstances with inner contentment and satisfaction because you know that God will use those experiences to accomplish his work in and through your life. But it is an everyday choice to do justice and to do it with joy. We can choose to look the other way. We can choose to continue each day not seeing those in the shadows and those weighed down by suffering that are all around us. Or we can choose to open up our everyday life to being a part of God's heart for justice and then to do justice. Our homes and families are the starting point to do justice. How we treat our spouses and children and parents reflects our commitment to God's justice. The lessons we teach our children through what we do as well as what we say determines whether they care for the least among us and are committed themselves to work for justice. And then the workplace is where we are called to do justice. Work is not a burden. Work is just not how we make a living. Work is a way of supporting our family and participating in God's creation. And work is where we can make the most of our talents and opportunities. Work is where we should treat others fairly and with dignity, working with integrity and creativity. Yes, we can do justice at the workplace and with our work, whether that work is secular or in the body of Christ. And then we do justice with how we spend our money and our spare time. It has been said time and again that if you want to know what someone values most, just look at how they spend their money and how they spend their time. But we can do justice with our money. When we purchase goods and services, we can choose to support those companies, those corporations that treat their workers fairly and which support their communities. We can also make conscious efforts to consume less and give more. Yes, we can do justice with how we spend our money. Doing justice in the home, at the family level, doing justice at the workplace, doing justice with how we spend our time, doing justice with how we spend our money, and doing it all with joy, family, work, time, and money. This is not a complete list, but these are just some examples of what it looks like to do justice on an everyday basis. And so as I move to my conclusion, during his ministry, Jesus constantly, insistently, persistently did justice, putting things right, fixing, repairing, and restoring what has been broken, and doing it in a way that respected the dignity of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Jesus healed the lepers, healed bleeding women. He reached out to children, and he even ministered to Gentiles. He ministered to the rich and the powerful, the Romans and the Jewish leaders of Israel at that time. But unfortunately, these very people, the Romans and the Jewish religious leaders of Israel at that time, they did not like what Jesus said and did, and they worked to crucify him. The Bible says that Jesus suffered, and we know that he suffered an horrible injustice, but he did it with joy. How do we know that? Because the Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. But Jesus suffered injustice willingly that we might have freedom and relationship with God, even though we did not deserve it. Yet Jesus did what he had to do in order to do what he wanted to do, which was to do justice, to put things right again, to repair and restore what had been broken. Jesus suffered and died on the cross. He was buried in Joseph's new tomb. But Jesus did not remain dead, for death could not conquer God. Instead, the God of justice raised Jesus from the dead with all power and authority. God raised Jesus, and in doing so, forever demonstrated that love trumps hate, that might does not make right, that God is a God of justice. What Jesus did when he died on the cross was take the punishment of everyone and took it on his own shoulders. For every wrong thing, for every sin, for every injustice, he paid for it so that we and everyone else, should they accept the sacrifice, could be set free from that punishment. Even though we have done wrong, Jesus made it possible for us to be made right with God. That is doing justice. That is putting things right again. That is fixing, repairing, and restoring what has been broken. But when we look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 21, and look at that last verse, or I should say Proverbs 21, verse 15, and look at the last part of that verse, it's plain and simple. Destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. And it will come because God is a God of justice. And that is why our mission is to go into all the world and proclaim this good news of Jesus Christ, so that the destruction to come on people will not come their way if they change their direction. Proclaiming this good news, this gospel, that is doing justice, because it is putting things right again. It's fixing, repairing, and restoring what has been broken. Repairing and restoring broken fellowship between some man, woman, boy, and girl back to their God through Jesus Christ. And so as we leave this call and not God's presence, let us determine day by day to do justice and do it with joy, and to encourage it in our families, in our government, in our workplaces, wherever people are organized and assembled. Because it is a joy for the just to do justice, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. May God bless the preaching and teaching of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for this time together. God, we thank you for your word and its admonition to us to do justice, Lord God, and to allow us, Lord God, to do just with joy, justice with joy. Help us, Lord God, to recognize, O Heavenly Father, that your justice must be our justice, that, Lord God, that we must not operate in our way, but operate in your way, and you are a God of justice. So help us, Lord God, to do justice, and to do it, Lord God, in a way that you would have us to do it. Thank you, Lord God, for what you have revealed to us in your word. And I pray, Lord God, that the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart are acceptable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name that I pray that we pray. Amen.